Good morning, everyone. Praise the Lord. Wow, that worship was awesome. Good job, wife. Wow. Recently, the Lord has been at work in many of us. I'm sure every single one of us could have a testimony. One of the things he's been working on in me is I like to be really organized and know what I have to do and what I have to say. And sometimes, you know, just even standing before you and moderating like this can be a challenge. So one of the things he's doing is saying, you know, don't worry, just open your mouth and I will fill it. And that's a verse that's been coming to me lately. And so it's really powerful. So this past week, I stumped Google. So I was looking up how often did David encourage himself in the Lord? And Google just kind of hurled a bunch of stuff and didn't know. But it's many, many times. You know, many times as you're reading through Ezekiel and Kings and you're reading the stories of David and Goliath, and especially when King Saul came in, he encouraged himself in the Lord continuously. And anyway, it was really powerful. And Doug has a verse that he wants to share with us, or maybe two. And okay.
Just revelation from the scriptures. You know, I read the word a lot, and John's my favorite book, the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the word, you know, logos. And just when you get into the Greek and in the word of God, it just blows it open and stuff. And one of my favorite evangelical verses is John 1:12. He, Jesus, came to his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right, the power, the authority to become sons of God. The right is exousia, the power and the authority to become sons of God. So he came to his own, and his own received him not. The first own is in the Greek neuter tense, whatever that is. So really it means, what it means is his own things. The second own is in the masculine tense. That means his own people. So he came to his own things, the earth that he made, and the earth that he made received him not, and his own people received him not too. And I just went, wow, I've never saw that before, and it's footnoted in the NSB and the King James. But it's just, wow. And you think in Romans, you know, when all creation groans for the revealing of the sons of God, eh? I heard a pastor say once, creation just loves to feel a spirit-filled believer walking on it, you know? And so, like, his own things received him not, but they will. They will receive him. The next time he comes, creation is going to be set free from its bondage of decay. And it's going to, Isaiah says, the trees of the field are going to clap their hands. And, you know, like, it's going to be pretty awesome. The last verse in Psalms says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, you know? And it just is awesome, eh, the word. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thanks, brother. Thank you, Lord. Any of the testimonies I've ever heard of heaven, it's not a quiet place. And the closer to the throne, the louder it gets. And, yeah. So, encouraging, and our brother and sister are here to visit with us, Kirsten and Darcy. And so just make sure you get a chance to love on them. And when I saw them Friday night, the spirit within me leapt. Like, it's when you're reading through the Gospels and Mary, when the Mary and, anyway, it says within her the spirit leapt. I've been experiencing that, which is really quite wild. Like literally, you feel your spirit leap within you. And so when I saw them on Friday, well, I saw Darcy on Friday, I experienced that. And it's pretty wild. So anyway, so God is good. So get a chance. They'll be here for the next couple of weeks to love on them. And so what's encouraging is what happened Friday night. And so that's what got me thinking about David. And so Pastor Stan is going to lead us in a testimony time. And yeah, you can come up, Pastor Stan. And he's going to lead us in a testimony time. So you'll get an opportunity here in a couple minutes to just share just what you experienced there on Friday night. And one last thing is, in 2 weeks, Jay and Karina are getting married. Praise God. And so they have openly invited all of us. So I think we should all just come. And so it's going to be at 11 o'clock, Saturday, January 23rd, here at Potter's. And after, what did I say, July? Did I say January? Just delete that off the tape. It's going to be in June, 2 weeks from now. Still 2 weeks. June 23rd, Saturday, 11 o'clock. And after their vows and pictures, there's going to be a potluck. So when you come to the wedding, bring your potluck contribution. So, amen. Yeah. So it's all yours.
You want to hold that mic and just be ready to pass it around?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll do that. You bet.
Glad you're here today. Only six. All right. You had me worried. You remember last week we ended with, I just ended saying, listen, this is going to be a pretty momentous week. And when that happens, especially when we start addressing the issue of the unity of the body, we start addressing the issue that the church needs to come together, and when we are going to be calling the church worship, that we can expect the enemy to fire everything he's got. That's the last thing he wants. The one thing the enemy does not want is for us to join together and worship him. And I don't know how your week has been, but I've heard from a number of people and experienced this in my own life that, man, you know, there's all these fiery darts, and they just keep coming, and he doesn't quit, but we know why. We know that there's power when the church stands together. I really believe this. I believe that there's power, right? And one of the reasons why we don't see the power that we'd like to see or that Jesus said we would see is because the church is so fragmented. We're so busy fighting with each other, and we're so busy building our own kingdoms. But when the church actually stands together and functions as one body, we will see the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And we've begun to see some of that on Friday night. And I just want to share a couple of quick things. And then those of you who are there Friday night or maybe even Saturday during the grand opening, I tell you, this has been a busy weekend for those of us from Potter's Hands. Don't tell us that we're not doing anything. Like it's late nights and people are working hard. But it's kingdom work and good things are happening. So if you have something to share, we're going to just take about 10 minutes and share some really quick stories. And also just what were you hearing from God? What was God saying when you were worshiping on Friday night? You know, what was the dream or the vision? Or did you just sense the Spirit leap in you, like Chad was saying? And just one of the things I want to share, this is really phenomenal. Like we were really kind of connected to Crossroads Church and doing this thing on Friday night, which is really cool. That's a huge church. And, you know, they have a vision for this. And their pastor was there all night long. He was ministering to some people. And, I mean, you know what? Head pastors of churches that have 3,000 people, they don't go to these things very often. So I thank God for that. Anyways, Crossroads put it on their Facebook page that we're going to have this service at the former Lotus Club. And it kind of got out from Facebook into just the general population, I guess. I don't do Facebook, but I guess that's what happens. Sometimes it just spreads to who knows who. And it got into the population of people that used to party there. And it absolutely exploded. That afternoon, there were 10,000 hits on the Facebook page of people really angry, some of them just so mad that some church people might be doing something in their Lotus Club, you know, that where they used to party and where they used to do their lines of cocaine and where they used to pick up girls. What's the, and these churches, you know, they don't do anything for anybody, you know. And this, I mean, this got, and this blew up that by the time we hit about 8 o'clock, no, it was about 10 o'clock at night, there were 50,000 hits. And this went viral. So, I mean, it's unbelievable. There were over 500 comments of people. And again, many of them were just like, you could just hear the enemy. You could hear him just grinding his teeth. Really, that's all I could say. It was like him grinding his teeth. I am not happy about this. I'm not willing to give up this territory. But too bad. Too bad. But there's also the stories of the women who said, you know, I can think of a few of them. I was there two times, and I was there two times too many. Or when I was there, I lost my innocence. Or when I was there, that's where I started the very beginning, the first day when I became a prostitute, is that it came out of that place. And you read these stories and the woundedness and the hurt. I believe that Friday night was the beginning. We didn't achieve what God has yet. This was the beginning, and I believe that he's going to use us as a catalyst to bring unity to the body of Christ. And that, I believe it's that important. One more quick story, and then I want you to share your stories, but I was talking to Dave, who was the worship leader that night, Dave Grobe, and he was just telling me this quick story. He says, you know, There's a girl from our church, and she's just doing great, like loves the Lord, and but she's like in that age group of the people who grew up in the climate of Lotus and the Cowboys and all that. And so I just looked at her, he said, in the middle of the night while we were singing, I just asked her a simple question. I said, "Were you ever here before?" And she just hit the ground and just started to cry. And just broke down. Because this place, the place where she was now worshiping was a place that had done so much damage. And it's not just the place, but it's the enemy, really, and it's the people who were pursuing evil. And she just started to weep, and she fell to her knees, and she said, "Yeah, I've been here before." That's all she had to say to him. So, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is moving. We are going to do this again. There's a real sense from people who are there saying, "Come on, let's not stop now." We have over 100 people who put their names down for their email addresses. And that's a great base, right? That's a great base. Now when we do this again, we send it off to them and they tell their friends, and there'll be more people. We think there were maybe 250 people who showed up Friday night. If you haven't given your email and you want to do that, I'm just going to pass this along. And all the emails, if you're interested in this, we don't really have a name for it. I'm calling it, what am I calling it now? I had a name for this last night I thought God gave me. But it's worship. It's unify worship. Unify worship. And it may be something different than that. But if you're interested in doing that, when we do this again in a few weeks, put your email down and we will certainly call you and email you. I guess you don't call people on email. I'll stop now. What was God saying? What did you see that night or Saturday during the grand opening? Who's first? Doug's got the mic. Scary.
So, yeah, just yeah.
Scary, scary, scary.
The psalmist says somewhere in the 130s, somewhere, where brethren dwell together in unity, the Lord commands a blessing. That's awesome. That's what he did last night. I heard 5 or 7 churches, but I think there was more
There's
than that.
There's more than 10.
More than 10. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's incredible. So Don and I went in. We sat down in the back row on the bottom, and there was a young lady beside. Well, I thought she was young. She's only about 10 years younger than me, actually. But she was just praising God and dancing and everything. And she just shared a little glimpse of her testimony. She looked pretty wild. She had, you know, funny hair and piercings and tattoos and all that. But she shared a bit of her past with me. And just one comment I remember was just, "This is so much better than any drug there is."
Mm.
And, you know, she was... She was saved off the street. She came out of a fire. She almost got burnt to death. It's just bizarre how God saved
Thank
her and
Jesus.
Just delivered her. And she was just on fire for the Lord. And I just said, "God, give me some of this zeal back that she has, some of the incredible love for the Lord." Like, it was really awesome.
Amen.
Praise God.
Rick, you got a mic there?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, then you're next. I'm not going to wait for you. So, come on, Rob. No, I guess she's just holding it.
Okay. Oh. Two things that I saw. The first thing that I saw was just a quick vision where it was kind of strange. It was like the whole place was a gas station, and there was people, but the people were like fuel pumps. And empty and lost people were walking in the door to come and get plugged in and get filled up.
Amen.
And wow. It was just one person after another, and it was just this big gas station of Christ.
Amen.
And the second thing, it was more something I felt. It was as different people were coming in that I didn't recognize. It was like you'd see a name, but I didn't recognize the name, but it was a church name is what I felt, and it just fell off as they walked
wow.
in the door.
That's good.
The titles just fell off.
Okay, I seen God just... Yeah. Well, I just seen God moving in that place yes, when we were there, and I just felt the presence of God. And I'm saying God says, yes, we all got to come together in the body of Christ, and I've been praying for this for years since
yeah.
I moved here, that we needed to move in this area, and I see it coming to pass.
Yeah.
And this has me and my sister Kimberly there. We're leaving there. We went across, and she happened to notice a friend, her friend, who was out there, and she's just coming out of another strip club. And she's talked to her. We stopped, and we chatted with her for a few minutes, and then she said, "Can I pray for you?" She said, "Yes." And she started bawling. She said, I have to come out of this. She said,
wow.
I don't want to be in this lifestyle anymore. She said, as we were praying for her, she said, yeah, they're standing there just laughing at me. She said, they're making fun of me because I want to change. Mm. And I don't know a way out, she said. And Kimberly said, yes, you have a way out. We're in this club over here at the Lotus, and it's going to become a dream center, a way out. So you have a way out, she said. I have two beautiful girls, and they got taken away from me, and I want them back, she said. I love my little girls, she said. Amen. So we prayed with her. She said, so we prayed with her, and she said, well, when it gets started, she said, I'm going. I'm going to get my life cleaned up. So we really need this dream center in this town.
Amen.
And there's a bunch of
thank you.
You need to share.
Talk about the girls that came in. Come on, stand up.
How many of you were there on Friday night? There's a whole bunch of you. Yeah. It was powerful. It was exciting to watch how God was moving. And I was just feeling thrilled with the unifying of the body of Christ coming together with so many different congregations. And Robin, kind of like you said, it was like the names just fell off. Mm. And they rose together as the body of Christ to stand. And I felt honored to be able to play the piano and sing. And it was so exciting to sing. There were various different congregations represented in the worship teams, which again was another unifying thing. Towards the end, after the third set, as we were all just kind of milling around, there were some girls that came in from the strip club beside us over in the Jen's Club. And so we walked over, a couple of us, and welcomed them in. Hi, come on in. They had something to drink, and they had some, whoever made those brownies, they were good. Those cookies. So we just visited with them and just kind of loved on them. And the one girl, they said, yeah, we're celebrating. It's her 18th birthday today. And she was over working next door. And so we visited with them and just talked with them. And they are beautiful women that are just hurting. And like you said, just seeking a way out. So as we visited with them, all of a sudden there was this other lady came in and says, okay, girls, we got to go. Let's go. And my heart just sank. Mm. And then, oh, no, those girls are in trouble. We need to love them and help them. Yeah. And help them find a way out. So yeah. That was good. It was good. And when we do it again, everybody come.
Yeah. Thanks.
I'm just so just on fire right now because I was reading the that post that was that Crossroads posted. I was reading through some of the comments, and the one comment that stuck out to me the most was when someone said, I can't believe that they would put a church in there. All the horrible stuff that has happened there, and how could they think that God would want to go into a place like that? And I thought, wow. But how many times do we as Christians, even believers, how we put God in a box.
Yeah.
And how we forget that he, Jesus himself, went into hell.
Amen.
And grabbed Satan.
Yeah, that's right.
And drug him and made a show of him. And so there's no place that Jesus will not go.
That's right.
There's no place that he won't go. And when I was down there, that's exactly what he was speaking to me. He's like, Kim, this is where I have called my people.
Amen.
I have called you into the darkness. I have called you to go down into the pits of hell and drag the enemy around and make a show of him and bring out my people.
Yes, yes.
And when I ran into, she was one of my former clients, and she came running to me. And she threw her arms around me, and she's like, oh, I'm so lost, Kim. I'm so lost. And she was one of the people who I actually introduced to Alvin, and Alvin came and did Bible studies with her and her girls, and anyways, things fell awry, and she said, I was on my way home, and I was feeling so hopeless, no reason to live, and look at what God did.
Amen.
God brought you here to me, and we were right just a stone's throw away from the ecstatic. That's where God met her.
Yeah.
That is where God was reckless. That's why I love that song. He was reckless, and he went and met her, and he met her through me.
Thank you, Jesus.
He meets them through us. We are Jesus to the world.
Amen.
Just as Christ is, so are we
here
in this world.
Yeah,
and so
glory. Glory.
So I pray that revelation would come upon you, that you are Jesus walking to them, and you carry that power and authority that Doug was teaching us in the Word. That was so true, and why God wanted us to know that, was that that is the power of God that lives in us and is through us. And so that unity that Pastor Stan talks about, the Lord also spoke to me that night, and I was talking to some of the other churches, people from other churches. I said, you know, this is what God calls to unity, and our pastor was preaching about it in John 17, and God spoke to me. He said, the head and the feet have different views, and they have different ways of doing things, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means that it's
right.
Different.
Still one body.
But the whole body of Christ needs to come together and get rid of the fights about, well, I don't walk that way, or I don't do this way. I don't, you know, it's not about that. It's about coming under Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Period. Yeah. And so God is doing an amazing thing, and he's calling us in there, and we have to do it together. And I just am so blessed to be a part of what is going to happen down there. Amen. Sorry
Amen.
For the long.
Go ahead, Cheryl.
Is this on?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, it is. Worship is warfare.
Yes.
And there's a lot of war that has to go on in that place. The battle has been won, but God still wants us to do warfare in that environment. The Salvation Army, at their very beginning, used to get haunted houses. People would give them their haunted houses because they were too scared to live in them. So they would go through, and they would worship the Lord, scare out all the devils, and then take it over.
Yep.
So what you're doing is awesome. It's an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing. One thing I wanted to share is that when I went into that building, I felt very emotional. Hmm. And I'm not a very emotional person. I was fighting back the tears. I could feel the pain in the walls in that place. And the Lord just said to me, it's going to take fire in here.
Yep.
And so the worship has to become like fire.
Amen.
That's the word, fire.
Good word.
Amen.
Well, I came in late and, walking through there and observing and just feeling what God's doing there, it was, you know, you could feel a shift with the churches for the unity. And these buildings, the Renew and Lotus, are kind of like a rallying cry for the churches. Mm. They are seeing what's happening downtown. They're seeing what's going on. Not, you know, Father's hands is behind it, but they see this as a muster point, you know, a war zone to come, and they're coming alongside. So these buildings, you know, they really need your continued prayer for, you know, for success, for Renew, for this, what's going to happen with Lotus and the people who are going to come on board.
Jesus.
Soak these places in prayer.
Amen.
Because this is a unifying factor like most cities never see.
Yeah.
You know, what's going on, and I walked around and read all the scriptures people were writing on the drywall. Fantastic.
Yeah.
So, prayer. Keep prayer going for these places.
Amen.
Hi, everybody. I'd just like to say, those girls, I used to be one of them, and I was out there myself for 20 years, and actually Kim from Baraka's used to help me a lot. But what I'd like to say is that I came through the church, and since I've come to the Lord, my life is it's wonderful. I'm happy. I got friends, like stuff I never had. You know, I got places
Amen.
To go. I got a nice apartment. I'm happy. I got a job. I work at the kitchen. Woo-hoo.
Thank you, Jesus.
I went from a really broken person to being a whole person through the
Amen.
Lord and through the church. So I'm grateful.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Friday night, unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend, but I was there in spirit. I used to party in that bar. I used to do drugs in that bar, and I almost lost my life. You know, and God finally reached out to me, and it was by me moving into a Potter's Hands building with two young kids. And my pastor coming to me and saying, you know, you need Lord. It was Crystal Crumb that started rebringing me to the church, actually. and our kids grew up together. And, you know, God's been having me fast and pray lately for the power of God to fall on Red Deer. And we've been praying for years for bars to start either coming down or them to be completely changed. And, you know, I flag, and it's not to draw attention to myself, but to praise God. And just like That's our right. sister was saying, it takes fire. These flags represent God's fire.
Yes. Amen.
And I can't wait until I get to flag. I have a friend that actually took these flags to Israel and Jerusalem. She gave them to me, and she didn't know why she was giving up her favorite flags that God had taken her world around the world with. And when she found out that I've been flagging here, she knew that I'd be flagging in Potters, but she did not realize the fire that God was going to start spreading.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
And we can't wait to start flagging in that building. You know, the enemy has been trying to attack members left, right, and center. I actually had one of my clients come after me. He's actually schizophrenic, and it's spirits. And they actually spoke to me last night, and it was like, and I was razzled a little bit this morning. And if it wasn't for a sister this morning to come and tell me that, you know what, God's got me, and I just need to flag and break it off, I don't know where I'd be right now, right? So it's God's fire that's
going
to change.
Good word. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Just one or two more.
I was so blessed and excited to be there Friday night because for many years I've lived in Red Deer for 10 years, and every time I would drive past that part of Gates, I would just be praying in tongues and cursing those places that they would shut down, because I have a daughter that's going through lots of challenges, and she's visited that place many, many times. But last year, November, I had a dream, and this dream was there was a center where a whole bunch of young people would be coming every week to worship. And this place had to be set up where that they would be able to come, and all they needed to do was just to be in the presence of God. Kind of like a Bethel or like Hillsongs, where it's just worship. And it had to be set up where they could have snacks, where they could have like maybe games, where they can just hang out, an alternative to darkness, and a safe place. And I remember sharing it with Pastor Stan, and I didn't know what that was because I had only just started coming to this church. But then the Lord spoke to me and said that just share it with Pastor Stan. And he said I wasn't the only one that shared that dream. So God was just confirming his word.
Amen.
And I pretty much was so blessed on Friday, and I praise God that I do know. And God whispered in my ear on Friday again. He reminded me. Because I heard from several different pastors or the church I came from that churches were trying to get a hold of those buildings. But God had given it to Potter's hands. He said, because I've seen your heart. And I've seen the humility. And so Friday night was just so powerful. And
thank you, Jesus.
I'm blessed. And,
Amen.
You know, I hope sometimes I wonder if my screaming and shouting is overwhelming to a lot of people. But it was just, it was just so amazing to see God's glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. One last one.
Okay. Sorry. What happened Friday night to me is when we were praying and came to mind that kind of mental vision I had of that pillar of water that was falling on Potter's hand. And I don't know, some of you guys might have remembered that a couple of years ago. And that came to mind when I was the other night when we were praying, and that came to mind so strong that in that dream, that pillar of water fell onto Potter's hand, and it burst into the streets. And I really feel, I was telling Stan there a year or so ago, I said, I really feel that this is happening, and I really feel that it's coming to
Praise
reality
God.
Now. And God is doing something major here. it's still mind-boggling. I grew up here with all, a lot of people there that had problems like I had years ago, but God is cleaning everything up, and God is coming back soon, and we all better be ready and pull together, you know?
Man.
Amen.
Let's give Conrad the last word.
I don't get the last word very often. For me, I like, I don't know if you call it vision or whatever, but unity's always been a big thing for me. Like, I never really understand how the church is separated. They all read the same book, right? So,
yep.
But, so that was huge for me. But one thing when I first got saved, it's like I always just felt like, oh, I want to scream it from the rooftops, right? Mm. I love Jesus. I said, Jesus, you know, yell from the roof. You know, and when I was there, it's like, this is it.
Yeah.
This is what we're doing here in this building right now is like screaming it from the rooftops. At the at his name, the enemy trembles.
Mm-hmm.
So when those doors were open to the people walking in those other places, I guaranteed they didn't have as fun as they thought they were going to have that night, because the enemy was probably scattered, couldn't even focus on his own people. He was trying to tremble. So to me, that was like screaming it from the rooftops.
Yeah.
I'll just share one quick thing. I'll try to make it quick. I'll probably share this with other people, but this unity thing, I'm all for this, right? So Linda, she was going around to some churches, and she's like, think you could send some emails out? Oh, yeah. I'll go get as many as I can. And I grew up in pretty much darkness. One of my best friends from high school, same thing. He actually went into ministry and became a pastor. And he thought, well, this would be great to move to Penticton and be a pastor in the sun. But I keep in contact with him. But where he started was in Edmonton at the Bissell Center and dealing with addictions. But he texted me this morning, and he's like, hey, guess what? I landed a job in Central Alberta.
Really?
So wow. This is great. So I told him, right on, because I've been sharing this with him. I said, as soon as I find anything out, I'll be sending an invite. And he's like, right on.
Cool.
So, great. More unity.
Okay. Give glory to God. Let's lift him up. Shout to the Lord. Amen. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet. Stand up. Stand up. Hallelujah. Clap. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's the king. He's the king. Amen. Amen. Okay, sit down. God is good. God is good. Thank you, Jesus. And just, you know, some of the dreams that people have been sharing over the last couple years are amazing. And we're seeing them come to a completion or beginning. We're starting to see them starting to come to a completion. I just want to share one quick thing about Pastor Dan Cochran. He said to me on Friday night, he said, you know, just really ties into both of the messages that you guys just brought. He said, I had this word from this picture that God gave me. He said that this place is like a fountain. And that just fits in exactly with what both of you were saying, that it's just going to pour out. It's bubbling over. It's going to bring life to where there was only death. He's going to bring life to the downtown. And it's going to happen when we join together. Amen. Amen? Okay, let's listen to the word. Let's pray together. I need the prayer. I tell you, it's been crazy busy, so I'm not sure what's all going to come out of my mouth today. But Lord, let your Holy Spirit speak. Like Chad said earlier, would you just fill my mouth with truth? Fill my mouth with the good news today. We are excited about what you're doing, and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are on the right road when we're on the road of unity. And that means sometimes that we die to ourselves, we need to die to our names, we need to die to the kingdoms that we're building so that we can only build a kingdom of God. And pray today that you would speak and you would remind us again, just reiterate, just reinforce what you've already been doing. This is nothing new. Just reinforce what we're already proclaiming. We're proclaiming this together right now, that this is the church is one foundation. The church is one foundation, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. A couple of scriptures to start with, and still on that theme, from Ephesians chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, I think it's going to be on the screen. I want you just to listen to these words about unity. The Apostle Paul was very interested in unity. He wanted the church to be one. He kept telling them to read each other's letters. You know, I'm writing a letter to you. Make sure you read these letters. And it's about being one. I want the church to be one. And that doesn't mean we're all the same. It doesn't mean we're in the same city. It doesn't mean that we all, you know, have the same flavor that we prefer. But we're one. One Lord. One. So he says this. As a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort, now listen to this, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Amen. The one line is the one line I want. If there's one we're going to focus on, it's this one. Be completely humble and gentle and patient, bearing with one another. Bearing with one another. He wrote this about 60 AD in a Roman prison. He also wrote to the Colossians, because that's all he could do when he was in prison. He wrote a bunch of letters there. He kind of slowed down, I think, because maybe one of the ways of God to just slow him down and to take some time and to contemplate and to write letters and to encourage the church. To the Colossians, he wrote sort of some similar words. So in Colossians, I want to read this for you. In Colossians chapter 12, or sorry, chapter 3, verse 12. There is no chapter 12 that we know of. 3, verse 12. And he's listen to how similar these words sound. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. For over all of these virtues, you got to put on love, which binds them all together in what? In perfect unity. Right? Put on love. What am I interested in here? I'm interested in perfect unity. And one of the things that's interesting about both of these letters that he writes, one to the church in Colossae and the other one to the church in Ephesus, is that he uses those three words, be humble, gentle, and be patient, bearing with one another. He says to the Colossians the same things, in humility, gentleness, and patience, bear with each other. And that's what I want to address this morning. Those three traits, or they're like the fruit, or part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, gentleness and patience and humility. Humility is actually not one of the fruit, but those other two are definitely the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And humility reflects Christ in so many ways, right? We're told in Philippians 2 that he humbled himself, that the whole character and the nature of Jesus is that he was humble. He humbled himself even on a cross. He didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he gave up his life. He submitted. Jesus submitted to death. Jesus was all about humility. He was all about patience, and he still is, thank God. He was all about gentleness. That was the very nature of Christ when he was on the earth. He walked in humility. He walked in patience. He walked in these fruit. And you know, there was one time when Jesus was particularly frustrated with the disciples because they weren't listening to him and they were having trouble doing some of the healing that he had instructed them to do. In Matthew 17:17, he says to them, how long am I going to be with you? And how long am I going to put up with you? And actually that word, put up, is the same word, you know, enduring, and the same word that we looked at in both Ephesians and in Colossians. How long should I bear? How long am I going to have to put up with you? How long am I going to have to bear you? And kind of he answers his own question. How long am I going to have to bear with you? How long am I going to be with you? Well, that's pretty much it, Jesus. As long as you're going to be there on the earth, you're going to have to bear with them. And he's still bearing with us today, right? But I just wanted to start by just sort of focusing on those three traits. And sometimes we just have to ask ourselves the question, how patient am I? How gentle am I? Right? How humble? How humble am I? Because if we're going to be interested in unity, if we want to see the bond of peace turn into the unity of the body of Christ, it's going to mean that we're going to have to lay down a whole lot of stuff, a whole lot of our attitudes, a whole lot of our judgmental way of pointing our fingers at other churches. I walked away Friday night, and I was so excited, and I was just praising God and thinking, man, there's 10 or 12 churches who are reflected here. But you know what? It wasn't very long before the enemy was starting to whisper in my ear, yeah, but what about those guys? Like, where were they? And that pastor said he was going to come. He didn't show up. You know, and some of these churches were noticeably missing. And I can find myself sometimes harboring those things and focusing on those things. And I'm being told by Jesus today, you know what? You got to humble yourself, and you got to be gentle, and you got to be patient, Stan. Something I'm not often accused of is patience. Although someone did tell me that this week. He said, Stan, you were so patient. I'm going, really? Me? But here's a word. You know, it's a word for us. He says this all three times. He says it the same thing both times that he says as he addresses two different churches. Be completely humble. Be patient. And be gentle, because what will flow out of that is going to be complete unity. And the love will not happen until we are gentle and patient and kind and, you know, with one another and with other churches and understanding and praying. Just keep praying. This is the beginning, but more is coming. The Holy Spirit is one Spirit, right? God is one God. God's all about unity. He is a tri-unity. If that's that important to God, do you think he doesn't want his church to be one? Of course he wants his church to be one. And that's why we looked at that last Sunday. John chapter 17, Jesus' final words, his last prayer. Lord, make them one. That's the only thing I really care about before I'm about to die. Make them one. Let them get along. Let them get along. Let the Baptists get along with the Presbyterians. And let the Potter's Hands people get along with the Living Stones people. Let them get along. Make them one, Father. And then he went to the cross, right? He went to the cross. I think it's also noteworthy, I'm going to just not spend a long time on this, but I think it's noteworthy that the words that he writes are written when he's in prison. He's in chains. So he's in a place where, and he says that, I think it's in when we read it in Colossians. As I'm in chains right now, he says, I want to tell you, it's Ephesians. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live this life, to be humble, gentle, and patient. As a prisoner of the Lord, I think it's in prison that he learned some of these important fruit, these traits. He learned to be patient. He had to be. He learned to be gentle. He learned, you know, he learned to be humble. Prison does that for you. And I know that we're not in prison here, but I think there are sometimes things in our lives that, you know, or we find ourselves in a place sometimes where we just can't do anything about the situation we're in. Maybe not in prison, but you know that you are in a place where you got to just sit. Maybe you're in a bad marriage and or a hard marriage, and you know, you're just going to wait this. You're going to stick it out. You're going to be strong. It's not a prison, but it's a place where God can teach you. Maybe you don't have a job, and you've been in that place for a long time. You haven't been able to get a good job, and you're struggling, and you keep wanting this to happen, or what Robin was saying, you know, a lot of things are not going in her life the way she wanted them to go. That's not really a prison. I don't want to call it a prison, but sometimes we're in a place where we feel like I can't do anything but sit here like Paul must have been doing. I'm sitting here in this dark little place, and I don't like it at all. But he says, yeah, I bet you don't, but you're learning something that you need to learn. You're learning patience. You're learning gentleness. And you're learning humility. So I don't know if that strikes a chord with anyone today. I know that in my life, those prison times, those desert times, man, there have been times when I've learned the most. And they were necessary for me to learn the things I would not have learned otherwise. So I just wanted to say that today, say if that's where you're at today, rejoice in the Lord, even when you're in chains. Paul said that too. Rejoice. And instead of complaining and saying, God, why me, Lord? You know, we sing that old gospel song. I've done that lots of times. Why me, Lord? What did I ever do? That's not what that song's about, by the way. But, you know, why me, Lord? Why? You know, God, I'll tell you why, he says, because I just want you to be one. I want you to be a promoter of unity. I want you to be gentle. I want you to have patience. I want you to show kindness. I want the whole fruit to come from your life. All of it. You got that? You everyone follow me? Because I want to move on to another part of this that I think is really important. And I want to make a statement, and everything I say from now on and the rest of the message is going to be connected to this statement. And that statement is this. In every genuine love relationship that we have, we always need to bear with something. We need to usually bear with the person that we're in that relationship with. I'm going to say it again. In every genuine love relationship that you're going to have, there's going to be things, and that word, by the way, bear with, that means to put up with, literally. And that's what Jesus said. How long do I have to put up with this, right? So, and it also means, it's a special word in the original language. It means to bear with, it means to endure, it means to suffer. So in every genuine love relationship you're in, there's going to be some suffering involved, and you better know it. And we don't like it, and we live in a world that says, no, I don't want any suffering. Like, I don't care if she suffers, but I don't really want to suffer at all. So I want my way. I want to do it the way I like to do it. That's why I'm getting into this relationship. But I want to tell you this morning, that in every genuine love relationship you have, you're going to have to bear something. You're going to have to bear something. Sometimes a lot of somethings, right? Let me give you a few examples. Like the love relationship you have with your children. Like if you have children, I mean, we even call it bearing children, not for men, but for women, right? Women bear their children. It's even already right in that. You go through the agony of birth. You go through the hardship of this because you bear your child into the world. You bring that child into the world through immense pain. Later on, you know, when you have children, how many of you have children here? Quite a few of us. You know what I'm saying then, when you have children, you got to bear stuff. You got to put up. Let's use that word, put up, because it's one of the real meanings. You got to put up with a whole bunch of stuff. When my little firstborn son was like a couple weeks old and he soiled his diaper, I didn't say to him, are you kidding me? You did that again? Like, I am sick and tired of putting up with this. You are going to take care of this yourself, young man. No, I didn't do that. Because I knew that this is what you get. This is what I signed up for, right? I got to put up with this, and that's only the beginning, right? My kids, and we're going to get into all kinds of stories, and we're not going to be able to, but we put up with stuff for our kids. We love them. We provide for them. We are patient. We are gentle. Sometimes we need to be humble with them because they're going to mess up. Sometimes our daughter is going to back the car into a telephone pole, and you just got to put up with it, right? When I was 9 years old, I had the freedom to walk all around the city, and there was no worries back then. And I was a dreamer. I guess it probably doesn't surprise you. I didn't always think things through, and I lived near a park. It was called Gyro Park, and there was a cinder block building that was a bathroom, men and women bathroom in there. And as I was walking, it was just this ugly green color. And as I was walking along in the city that I grew up in Cranbrook, I walked past and I got to know these guys who owned a body shop, just chatting with them. And I was 9 years old and I just didn't have anything else to do. And I saw they had a whole bunch of paint. And I said, I'd love to have a gallon of paint. And you guys got any leftover stuff? So they had this brown, greenish, metallic paint, and the guy didn't want it anymore. He gave it to me. And so I, naively and with no malice at all in my heart, took the gallon of paint, and I got a paintbrush, and I just started on my own, without asking anyone's permission, I just started painting that washroom. And I'm sitting in the park, and I got a paintbrush, and I wasn't a real good painter, and it wasn't very good paint. Like, it was metallic, you know, paint for, and I'm painting away, and I'm just having a great time thinking, this is nothing wrong with this. I'm having a good time doing this, until the city workers came up. And they wondered, what are you doing? What are you up to painting this block wall? I said, well, I'm just making it beautiful. Anyways, to make a long story short, I remember my dad that night saying, after he got in trouble, after he realized that he'd have to paint the building or pay for it, I remember him saying to me, how long am I going to have to put up with those antics of yours? How long? And I'm heard that more than once in my life. How long am I going to have to put up with this? Right? So there's a relationship. There's the point I'm making. There's a love relationship there, that there is always some suffering. There's always some carrying that we do. We carry each other sometimes. That we have to endure. We have to put up with it. Think about marriage. Come on, you guys should all be doing this now. Yeah? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's stuff we put up with, yeah. Right? Like his snoring. Right? Her incessant talking. His not listening to anything I say. Right? His driving. Right? Like, there's all the bad breath and the socks and the underwear that are never picked up and never put in the hamper. We put up with this stuff, right? For the sake of marriage, we put up with a lot of things. It does still happen when you get old, but you get better at it.
Yeah.
Or you don't see it like you used to. But it's in every love relationship, there's going to be some things that we need to put up with. And that's a challenge in marriage, and it's so important. I just say this to you today, too, that, you know, this is what maturity in marriage is when you can look at each other and you say, you know, I'm going to bear this. I'm going to carry you in this because I believe you're going to be carrying me for other things. And learning to put up with some things, as hard as that is. There's a lot of people nowadays, they don't want to put up with anything. Some people are waiting. They're not going to get married. They don't want to get into any relationship where they may have to carry somebody, or they may have to put up with whatever the other person's situation is. And they're waiting. They're just going to wait till they find someone who's that perfect, that they don't have any of those kind of problems. But I got to tell you something today, that this is what love actually is. If you want to, you know, you're waiting for something. This is what love actually is. It's when we put up. It's when we bear each other. And when we carry each other, it's when you go into a marriage and you go, you know what, I guess I'm coming to understand this now, that it's not going to be perfect. It's going to be a struggle. There are going to be things that you do that are really going to irk me. But I am deciding beforehand that I'm going to put up with it. I am deciding that I'm going to carry you because I expect you to carry me. I can tell you this, and this won't surprise any of you here. You don't even know what I'm going to say, and you're already agreeing. I'll tell you this, my wife has carried me many times. I know it's going to surprise you, but I have done some things that have irked her. But it's gone the other way, too, sometimes. No. Hey, listen, a week ago, someone said no. So a week ago, and you're not going to believe this, but in the office that we have, although she has a room downstairs for her art, and that's only her room. We have an office upstairs, this little office. It's got a desk, and there's two cupboards above the desk. And I've always had this little nook just in the corner where I put my papers. And the papers grow, and sometimes there's like 15, 18 inches of those papers. And she sits there in the morning and has her Bible study, and she prays, and it's her devotional room. Although there's a room in the basement that would work perfectly well for that as well. But she sits in our office. Anyway, so what happened is about a week and a half ago, I walked into the office and all my papers were gone. All my pile of bills to pay and things that are all the important papers. And I didn't know where they were, and I looked around and I opened up one of the cupboard drawers, and they're just crammed in the corner there, where all of my papers are crammed in, and her books and all her study stuff and her Tuesday night Bible study stuff, it's all laid out on a nice desk. So don't think that I don't have to put up with a lot of stuff. So so I took all her stuff, and I just exchanged it. I thought, well, maybe she'll say something. She never even said anything. I asked her about 3 days later, did you notice that, like, your books are now crammed upstairs? And she said, no. So don't think, okay? I mean, it's a joke, right? The reality, though, is just know this today, that if you're going to be in a love relationship, there's going to be stuff that you're going to have to put up with. It's not going to be easy, but that's what love really is. That you go into it knowing this, and you go into it saying, I am going to be willing to carry you for these things. And I understand that you're going to carry me for these other things. The same is true, and I could go on here, but I'm going to run out of time, but it's true in a church too, right? I'll just make this really quick. In a church, we need to bear with each other. We need to sometimes put up with each other. Sometimes people do things that we find annoying. Sometimes, don't wave at people, okay? It really annoys me. Sometimes, you know, when I'm, right? For the body to function, we need to walk together, and we don't always walk in the same step. Sometimes, you know, we have tension and we pull against each other. That's normal. We just need to bear it. We bear with each other. Sometimes I have to walk away from a situation. I say, you know what? I'm going to let that go. I know the heart of that person. I know where he is really living, and it's okay. And I'm not. I choose not to bear a grudge here. I choose not to allow the annoyance to just grind on me. I choose not to let the enemy get a foothold in my life because of that silly thing that person said or did. I choose to live in unity with each other. I choose to do this, and I do that by bearing, by putting up with it. And I'm sorry if that doesn't sound really spiritual, but it actually really is. You got to walk away sometimes from a fight that you've had or some hard things that have gone on. You go, I'm just going to put up with this, and I'm going to let it go. Amen? Amen? Okay. Finally, that's exactly what God does with us. In this authentic love relationship that we have with our Father, in this authentic relationship we have with a God who created us, who loves us, who said, you are my sons and you are my daughters. You know, the reality is, there's even there, there's sometimes a mutual putting up with things. Jesus said, if you're not willing to carry your cross, you know, then you're not worthy of me. If you're going to be a follower of Christ, that means sometimes we have to carry a cross and we put up with some things for the very name and for the very sake of Jesus. He says, if you would come after me, whoever would come after me and follow me must take up his cross and follow me. There's going to be times if you're going to stand up for Christ, you're going to carry a cross for the sake of the God that you love. You're going to bear it. You're going to put up with the ridicule and sometimes the persecution because you're going to stand up for the God you love. Amen? It's true. You might suffer financially. You might suffer professionally. You might suffer in your business because you're going to stand up for Jesus because that's more important. You might suffer as a social worker because of what other people might say or what people think of you. But ultimately, it doesn't matter because you say, you know what? I love my God, and I will bear what I need to bear here. I will carry the cross because he carried it for me. And that's really the last verse I want to read is from Isaiah 53. Because it's not, I mean, we can talk about what I have to bear for God. It's nothing compared to what he's had to bear for me. Right? What he's had to give up, but Jesus has had to give up for my sake. What he's had to carry, I mean, he carried my sins all the way from Gethsemane to Golgotha. Think of that. He carried your sins. It says, listen to these words in Isaiah 53. Verse 10, yet it was the Father's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. I'm talking about Jesus here. Though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, I'm talking about Jesus, he will see the light of life. That's a reference to the resurrection. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many. And now listen to these last words. And he will bear their iniquities. He took my sins. He carried them. He bore your iniquities, your sin, your failings. Am I? He put up with our ridiculous behavior, our lousy attitudes, our judgmental spirits. The times when we were terrible fathers and horrible mothers, he bore all of that on the cross. He poured out his blood. Jesus poured out his blood so that he could literally carry us and present us before the Father as righteous and as holy and as living sacrifices. He loved us with a love that demanded that he'd have to put up. He would have to bear with sinners like us. It says in Romans chapter 15, you who are strong, I'm going to get it exactly right. You who are strong ought to bear. No, you got 10:50. It's 15 verse 1. I got it right here. You who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and to not please yourselves. I want you to just say this with me. You who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. I believe that this morning there are probably some of us who are stronger and some of us who are weaker. And you might be surprised with some of the people who are weaker that you think are probably pretty strong, and they're maybe not. Sometimes we put on a pretty good show, we look like we're pretty strong, but we're not necessarily all that strong. It's a good facade, it's a nice mask that we wear. I want to speak to you just in conclusion here, you who are weak. Those who are here today, and you know in your heart you're weak. You know that you've been struggling, you know that you need to get carried. Something has to carry you because you can't do it. You can't hardly even get your knees to carry you anymore. The Bible says that we have the ability as a strong, and I think there are some who are strong, or at least we're stronger. We can pray for each other. We can hold each other up and carry each other, and that we ought to do that, especially for those whose knees are buckling in the weakness of the situation that they're in. And I'm speaking to you today that, and there's a few of you that, maybe more than a few, that you know you're going through a real trial in your life, and there's real weakness, and you need prayer. You need people to hold you up because you can't carry it anymore. The problem is we don't want to admit that. The last thing we want to do today is stand up and say, guess what? Man, I am incredibly weak. Praise the Lord. We don't do that, right? It's so hard to admit this. It's so hard to stand up and say, I am drowning in my weakness right now, and I can't do this anymore. I'm on the verge of whatever, you know, even suicide. We hear about so many people committing suicide, celebrities and others all around us, people who we think are strong, and they're not strong. They're actually quite weak and lost and hopeless. So I'm going to ask you this morning to do something that you will not feel that you are able to do. But I want you to know that the courage, that courage is different than strength. I'm asking you to be courageous today. To be courageous enough to ask for prayer or ask for help. To say, when I ask you to stand up, you stand up and say, yeah, I need something. I need someone to carry me because this isn't working. I'm not able to do this on my own. And I want to see us function this morning the way a body should, where we just surround each other. Now, those who are stronger can just sort of pray for those who are weaker. And where we're not afraid to admit it. Yeah. Everyone will know. But you know what? Let me tell you something. This week it might be you standing. Next week it might be me. And you were there when I was standing in that weakness. Most of you were. We don't need to be ashamed. It's the enemy who puts that robe of shame on us. So I guess I don't want to prolong this except to say, if you know that this is God speaking, not Stan. But you know God is saying, you have that weakness. You are in a weak place. Why don't we just bow our heads? I'm going to ask you to stand up. If there are some of you today, everyone just bow your heads, but if you have weakness, just stand up right now. That's good. Don't be afraid. Just be courageous. Thank you. On any given day, some of us are going to be weaker, and some of us are going to be stronger. Some of us are going to need prayer, and some of us can be prayers. Ultimately, we're just saying one thing. Lord, I need you. Can you say that with me? Lord, I need you. Say it again. Lord, I need you. All right. Those of the rest of us who are not standing, would you just, if you're willing, will you just kind of surround some of the people who are standing and put your hands on them? If you have permission, just ask them, is it okay if I put my hand on you? And we're going to say this together right now. Lord, I need you. Let's minister. Let's hold each other up. I want you to pray. Pray just right now. Just start praying. Lord, in Jesus' name, pray for strength. In Jesus' name, remove the brokenness, remove the pain. Thank you, Jesus. Don't be afraid. If you're sitting down, you want to stand up right now, stand up and find someone. We're going to, it says that those of you who are strong should minister to those of you who are weaker. We're going to do that in Jesus' name. No power. Sing it with you. Can you get it?